flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
We're getting ready to crown an NCAA football champion tomorrow night. I forget what time the game is tomorrow night. It's 7:30 p.m. Eastern time.
Is it that way? Okay.
Yeah, so 6:30 Central, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Number 7, Notre Dame against number 8, Ohio State. Pete, as you look at this, do you think, and this is the first year of the 12-team playoff, do you think that this hit the mark? Do you think that we really, truly found the NCAA, no question in my mind, champion when we crown one tomorrow night?
That's a great sort of loaded question, but I'm going to say sure. Yeah. and the reason I say that, Dave, I think it's really interesting to see that, you know, and this is something that everybody's been observing and curious about, but all four of the teams that got the bye, all four lost, right, when they got their opportunity. And I think that's an interesting part of this whole thing. And it shows you, you know, the diversity. But I also think that when we look at this, we can see a parity in college football that gives us opportunity that makes it that much more fun, right? I mean, the game that Arizona State gave to Texas, for instance, and Ohio State just absolutely has been blowing out everybody. But a lot of that, I think, is on the heels of that potential of maybe the head coach losing his job because they lost to Michigan again, right?
So,
I think we got it right. When you really look at the most recent semifinal games, I think that was a really fair look at who are the four best teams. Texas, Ohio State, Penn State, Notre Dame. I think when you look at those four, you'd have to say, you know what? I think we've got it right. Now, personally, I thought Penn State was maybe a little bit overrated, but, you know, then again, maybe they proved me wrong because they gave Notre Dame a heck of a football game. And Notre Dame's playing with just that one loss in the second week against Northern Illinois. But Notre Dame fought like crazy in that game and got the right opportunity and, you know, was able to exploit it and win that football game with that interception late in the game. So I think they got it right, Dave. I really do. I love the matchup. I know everybody's pretty much leaning on Ohio State. They're favored by 7, 8, 8.5 points, something like that. But Notre Dame is not somebody to sleep on. They just have – it feels like Marcus Freeman has these guys on a roll that has been pretty amazing. I don't think they're done. You know, 8.5 points feels like too much. But, you know, when you look at Ohio State and what they were able to do to Texas and what they
and
did
Oregon.
To Arizona State. Yeah, and, or- yeah. and Oregon.
Yeah, crushed them.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, you know, and Tennessee. Let's remember, Tennessee's a heck of a football team.
They are.
And that was a great game. They blew it out. They 42-17. I think they've got the right two teams. Is it a perfect match? Maybe not. But, you know, how often is it a perfect match when you get to the Super Bowl or any of these bowls? Right.
Well, it's never perfect. It's about the team that's healthiest and the team that's playing their best football at that time.
Yep.
The only thing, and I think this is the best it's going to be. You know, you're right. It's never going to be perfect. But truly, if you can win 1, 2, 3, 4 straight games, then of the top, you know, 12 teams in college football, then you should be the national champion. The only thing I would like to see, Pete, and I don't think if you're going to do it this way, then you got to stop with the automatic bids and the automatic qualifiers for winning your conference. Because Arizona State, and we talked about this at the beginning, they did not deserve to be where they were. They did not deserve a first-round bye. They ended up, you know, losing to Texas. But I didn't think that they, because they were actually, what, the 12th or 13th team in terms of ranking. So why are they getting a first-round bye? You know, I just, because of an automatic qualifier. You can't do both. You can't have a playoff and have automatic qualifiers because of bowl games. Now, maybe it's just going to take a little bit of time for them to tweak that because these are contracts with the bowl games and they have to do that. But I don't want – because I don't think that that's fair. I think there was another team that probably deserved to be in there as the fourth best team on that side than Arizona State. They were a great story. Don't get me wrong. It was a great story. But, you know, and they took Texas to overtime, which is amazing. Two overtimes, excuse me, which is great. I just don't think they deserve to be in that spot, per se. I think that's the one at this point. If there's any faultiness to it, I think it's that there should not be automatic qualifiers. The other thing I find interesting there, and this is being talked about today, is that Notre Dame, you know, there's all this push to get them to join a conference. Why would they? What is the incentive for them when they can just run, you know, just schedule whoever they want, and they're going to be a tough schedule, and then you make it in and make your run? There is, to me, zero upside for them to join a conference at this point.
Yeah, and it's an interesting thing that people have been arguing about forever, right? I mean, Notre Dame, they're independent. Notre Dame, they don't have to play certain teams and stuff. Notre Dame played a pretty good schedule, you know, at least especially if you look at it from the perspective of the beginning of the year, right? I mean, they were lined up against the Clemsons of the world and the USCs, and, you know, they have all kinds of different ways of piecing together every year. And by the way, Notre Dame, when they've got their own broadcasting network with NBC, I mean, that's not a bad gig. So to your point, I don't think that they're going to worry about what everybody, or a lot of people are asking for, which is, hey, join a conference, get into the ACC, get into whatever conference you're going to get. I think that they're doing everything the right way and the smart way. If I'm Notre Dame, I don't mind at all being independent. I'm just amazed still, and I know I'm going back to the football side of this. I'm amazed at what Marcus Freeman does, how he does it, how he's recruited, how he's put together this team, and now he's going up against his own team, obviously Ohio State, where he played. And it's just a pretty magical piece to this puzzle. And if you know, I'm very hopeful that it turns into a really tight game. I'd hate to see it turn into one where Ohio State just runs away with it, which I think a lot of people are banking on probably. But Notre Dame's been impressive. I mean, you know, they've gone up against everybody they put in front of them and done a great job. And I'm really, really impressed with that team. And I don't think that they have the superstars that Ohio State has by any shot. You know, when you look at the talent at Ohio State at receiver, at running back, at quarterback, at linebacker, at edge rusher, at corners, they have people everywhere at Ohio State. And I think that Notre Dame's got some great football players, but I don't think from that standpoint they match up. But they're a team, and I think that's what makes Notre Dame who they are.
So when you look at this 12 playoff field, are any of the and in this day of NIL, right, does this now field now look completely different next year? Is it a completely different set of teams?
The only reason I would say no – I would say no to that only because I think that some of these schools have really done an amazing job of how they maneuver in this world of NIL in college football. And so somebody would say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, each year Oregon gets a quarterback from somewhere else, somebody who's battle tested and all the rest of it. And they get themselves into a great position to be one of those 12 potentially. Ohio State, same thing. They go out, they find a quarterback. I think that because of that, it's something that will probably we'll see a lot of these same teams. I think on the other side of that is they still have to fix NIL. I mean, and that is an absolute in my opinion. And I get a lot of pushback from people when I say that. They say, well, why do you think you can't salary cap this? You can't do that. That's why the NFL is so successful in my mind. There's a salary cap for a reason. It's to get people the opportunity for their teams to be able to compete against the others And it's not like baseball where you've got just a handful of teams that pay whatever amount they want, and they seem to always be into the championship end of things, right? I mean, that's what I see when I watch this. NIL's got to figure out what that level is. Maybe it's $20 million, maybe it's $25 million, whatever the number is. But if you saw what Glenn Beck just got, the quarterback, it's not Glenn, I said the wrong thing, but the Georgia quarterback, he's going to Miami, he's getting a little over $4 million a year. $4 million a year. Brock Purdy hasn't made that in his lifetime yet. So it's just an amazing thing what NIL is doing to the sport.
I couldn't agree with you more, because I was watching, and I don't remember the game, I don't remember the teams, but literally they're talking about one player who's playing in a specific bowl game, and they said something to the effect of, well, you know, he knows it well because he was here last year with this team instead, a different team. I'm like, that's ridiculous. You should not be able – like, that's where NIL is crazy. And I'm thinking to myself, well, how do you stop this? How do you keep this from getting out of control? Mm-hmm. And I came down – Pete, I came down – I have a scenario that I think could work. I think – if you play more than 75% of your team's snaps that year, if at your given position, you should not be allowed to transfer. Or if you do, you should have to sit out. Hmm. Think about that. If that way, I mean, I still think if you don't play, you have an opportunity to play somewhere else, then that's I get that, right? Like, coaches can move all the time. And so if a player's in a situation where he's not getting playing time, then you should get out. But if you're going to play 75 to 80% of your taxes, snaps rather, like Beck did in Georgia, then you should not be leaving to go somewhere else because you're chasing the money. Or stop calling it amateur football. One of the two. You can't have it both ways. But it's got to be one of the two. So I think if you put a snap percentage on it, that maybe this can be reined back in a little bit. But good luck, because you can't bring it back in.
Yeah, that was going to say, the problem is that they've already opened that up. but they could tweak it.
Right.
There's no reason, that Dave, that they couldn't tweak it to some degree. It's one of those things that's probably up to the legal folks, not you and I. But, I think, we've talked about this time and time again, but it's what makes college football very, very interesting now. And I thought it was going to ruin it, and it hasn't yet. But, you've got this portal, which is free agency. You've got NIL. Which is, money, right? I mean, so I just think if they cap the money, that gives everybody else a fighting chance. Boise State, that gives them a chance, right, to be there the next time, because they got really lucky on a kid that turned into one of the best running backs that we've ever seen, right? I mean, those are the kinds of things that can happen for sure, but I just think that if they can cap that money, it gives schools like Minnesota, not just Minnesota, but Minnesota, and Wisconsin and Iowa and Indiana and schools like that, a much better opportunity to compete with Ohio State and Michigan and Oregon, who these guys have so much money flowing in from some of these companies, and all the money that gets flowing into the universities. It's amazing. And you know what? There's got to be a way to keep that competitive.
And you shouldn't be allowed to be a rebound date for a kid, right? I mean, like, you shouldn't be allowed to, let's say, you go somewhere and you go, all right, I don't like it here. I'm going to go to Minnesota. I'm going to put up great numbers, and then I'm going to leave and go somewhere else, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what's ruining this. I think that's what's really what drives you crazy, is that you have a player who plays very well and then uses that as a springboard to somewhere else. Let's just say Max Brosmer had another year. If he wasn't aged out at this point. Do you know how many schools would be banging down his door to get him for next year? And he would have no choice but to say yes, because the NIL money would be better. And he wants the opportunity to go pro. And so I don't like the idea that you're a springboard to some kid's greater college career. If you want that, go pro. Get rid of the three-year limit in college football and just go pro. And that could, I think that fixes things too to some degree. But where we land on this and where we end on this is, I think we're both in agreement that this is not a perfect system, but it's never going to be perfect. So this is as close to where it is right now as it's going to be.
It can be tweaked. And the last thing I say real quick is Coy Parrish. Yep. That's what makes that kid so special, because Ohio State had wanted him out of high school, wanted him again this year at the end of the season, and he stays at the University of Minnesota. And I love the fact that he's got that commitment. And I think we've got a lot of those Minnesota kids that have that same commitment to the school, not just the money, but to the school. And you know what? Kudos to these guys who can do that. That's awesome.
To the talk and text line, last word here. Absolutely love the new college football playoffs. People grouse about first-round blowouts as proof as they pick the wrong teams. Well, look at what happened in the NFL wild card round last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great point. Great point. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. I want to talk a little bit about the NFL coaching carousel. There's some interesting possibilities coming up of coaches who may be involved next year. We'll talk about that coming up next. You'll listen to The Huddle. Just into the WCCO talk and text line. Dave, you're so out of touch with the transfer portal. It's all about the courts and how they rule. It's not about the NCAA and the schools. I would love a little more context because I don't quite understand what you're saying there. That, and I'll guess a little bit that it's about the courts making the rules and not the NCAA, which I don't necessarily disagree with you on. I don't know that it matters, though, who it's about. It's about what it's doing to college football. So,
yeah.
Texter, please. I'm more than happy to be ripped. But to give me a little more context, put it on the air. Pete, there is a coaching carousel. There's a number of openings. Chicago's open and Dallas is open. The odds for the Dallas Cowboys quarterback, the favorite right now, is Kellen Moore.
Yeah.
But next up after him is Deion Sanders and Robert Saleh. I Kellen Moore is a great call. I think he deserves to be a head coach, and I think there's others out there too. Mm-hmm. I don't have any idea, as I shared with you last hour, and I've seen this in many different places, that the Cowboys, regardless of who's going to be their head coach, they want Jerry Jones gone. They're tired of him meddling. He wants to be a general manager, not an owner. That is hampered. I think that hampers the team quite a bit. I don't see Deion Sanders' shtick working in the NFL. And he wants to coach his own kids. Like, that's just that's a bad deal. Why would you ever even think about taking a risk on that?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing that's part of the conversation with Deion Sanders. You know, and the problem that I have is, as much as we all want to like Deion Sanders possibly or think he's a great coach at this point in time, he's 1-6 against top 25 teams. It's not like, I mean, have they turned a corner? They've turned a little bit of a corner at Colorado, and they certainly have an unbelievable fan base now. They're filling up the stadium, which they never did or they hadn't done in decades. And so, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why Deion Sanders, they don't need that at Dallas. They don't need somebody to fill up the stadium. It's going to be filled no matter what. And Kellen Moore has a lot of familiarity. I believe he was the quarterback and offensive coordinator coach at the Cowboys. He was at least a quarterback coach, I know. So, you know, he's got the background. He's got the right coach because he fits what they've got and some of the problems they might have with, you know, trying to get Dak Prescott right. You know, did he have a great year this year? No, he got beat up a little bit as well. So, you know, that one's interesting. How about this for the Bears? The Bears are looking at Cliff Kingsbury. He's one of them. Pete Carroll, Mike McCarthy. Mm-hmm. So with Pete Carroll and Mike McCarthy, you're talking about older, kind of more grizzled coaches, right? Or do you go with Kingsbury, who's that young guy who he gave it a shot at Arizona, didn't work. Is now the time that it'll work because he's doing a great job with the Commanders and obviously look at what he's done with the quarterback there. That's amazing. Eddie George is another guy that they're looking at, the old running back who's been coaching at Tennessee State. He's got an interview there. I think that one's interesting. I like Ben Johnson going to Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence, for whatever reason, has absolutely just fallen off a cliff. And I think a good offensive coach that would be the head coach, I think that would treat Trevor Lawrence really, really well. I think the world of Trevor. I got to know him a little bit down there, and I know quite a few people for the Jacksonville team, and I think Ben Johnson's the perfect fit. So that could be interesting. And by the way, these all come with the possibility of a big change for a team like Detroit, right? Because Aaron Glenn's going to go somewhere. Is he going to go to the Jets?
He is.
I don't know. Is he going to go to the Jets or Vegas or you know, somebody? He'll go somewhere for sure. And
did you see?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
I was just going to say the last thing I would say is the Saints are looking for a coach too, but the problem with them is they've got $66 million over the cap right now. So they've got to fix that one up, Dave, before they get anywhere, I think.
Did you see the Chicago Bears requested to talk to Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh? And he basically said that they're like, nope. And he said, not interested. And I'm like, and I thought about this. I'm like, well, you know, Pittsburgh had a tough year. But why in the world would you want to go from a team and an ownership that has allowed you to be, I think now, the longest tenured coach in the NFL?
Yep.
Maybe Andy Reid's got him beat. But I don't, I mean, Mike Tomlin has been in Pittsburgh forever. Why in the world would you go to Chicago where they've been in, they, what do they have, three or four head coaches in 5 years? I mean, it's just like, and I'm good for him. I don't think it would. I don't think it would take. I think it would take a lot to get Mike Tomlin to say bye bye to Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh has stood by him, and that ownership group has to be one of the best in the NFL.
They do, and they are the one solid franchise that there is in the NFL. I mean, when you go back, think about it. They've only had three coaches, I believe, in the last 25, 35 years, maybe 40. You know, if you just go back in time, and Mike Tomlin feels like he's that guy. He's committed to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, I feel, is definitely thinking that he is their guy. Now, they got to get through the playoffs at one of these years, though, and that's where he struggled. He's done a great job coaching through the year, and people, you know, all those fans love him for all the right reasons, and unfortunately, they've stumbled. But, you know, if you really look at who they've got to play each and every year when they go to the playoffs or whatever, it's, you know, it's the AFC and outside of the, that's a difficult place to get through because you've got, you know, teams like Buffalo and Kansas City and the Ravens who have been really unbelievable. And what Tomlin's been able to do with far less talent, in my opinion, at quarterback and some of the other positions, I think he's done an amazing job at Pittsburgh.
Yep. All right, we'll take a quick break. We're up against it here. We'll take a break. Jesse Pierce is going to join us next to talk a little bit of Wild hockey, and we'll head back to the text line a little bit later. I'm being ripped, and now there's some more clarity to it, and I disagree. Little tease for you. We'll talk about that in later on in this hour. We'll take a quick break. Come back. You're listening to Huddle on 830W. The Minnesota Wild lose in Nashville last night, but boy, they fought, which is always exciting, about all you can do when the team Nashville is the one that took Jared Spurgeon out a couple weeks ago. Jesse Pierce from Bar Down Beauties and NHL.com joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Jesse, I want to start first with the move of Kirill Kaprizov to LTIR. He has an aggravated lower body injury. What is the benefit of moving him to LTIR at this point for the team in terms of a cap hit and additional money?
Yeah, see, numbers aren't my thing, Dave, but I can tell you it's good to save them some money. That's why I'm a writer, right? We all know this. There's writers and there's the math people. But, no, I mean, there's been a lot of movement like that, a lot of up and down, a lot of on-paper transactions the Minnesota Wild have had to make, like moving Kaprizov to retroactive LTIR. Now, because it's retroactive, it is able to count all the games that he's already missed. So he is eligible to play. He was technically eligible to return last night. He obviously did not make this two-game trip with the team, and that's in order for him to continue to work out here in St. Paul. So it allowed them to make their recalls, have David Juracek, who scored his first goal last night, up on the team and on the roster because they're still eating a lot of money from those buyouts. They've had so many different recalls, and there are guys making various amounts of monies down in Iowa, too. So, again, big numbers game, but the benefit is they're able to get the guys up there, up here that they need while still allowing Kaprizov to continue his regimen to get back into game shape.
Jess, with all these injuries, and we know that it's just been a historic year for injuries for the Wild, unfortunately, but they've fought through it. They've done an amazing job. It's incredible where they actually are considering all these injuries. Is there something about the are you looking at the trade deadline at all? Is it something that we are focused on at all from the management side to try to get some players?
I think so, more or less, not necessarily because of the injuries, but because of the position the Minnesota Wild have put themselves in. They've gotten enough points to definitely look as a playoff team. I mean, it's going to take a very large fall from grace in order for them to get out of a playoff contention spot. But that being said, Bill Guerin's going to add whatever pieces he feels are necessary in order to make a good push in the playoffs to get out of that first round. And Bill Guerin's a guy who's always making moves at deadline when he can. Now, again, as we talked about just moments ago, there's not a lot of money, so you got to look at the different rental options, what you might have to give up. So his hands are still a little bit tied in that capacity, but I wouldn't be surprised if Bill Guerin tries to do something, maybe get some offensive help, adds a little bit to that depth. The blue line's been very hampered, but they're very strong on the back end, and they've got the pieces there. So it wouldn't surprise me if he gets a bottom six rental piece at deadline. You know he's always taking calls. That's what Billy G does. He works the phones. So I'm sure there'll be at least something that he attempts to do at deadline coming up here.
Jesse Pierce joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Wild in Colorado tomorrow for a matinee game. When you look at this team offensively, you take Kirill Kaprizov out. Who has been your biggest surprise in just in terms of offensive capability? I know Boldy has been outstanding. We knew Boldy was going to be great. For my money, I'm absolutely in awe of what Marco Rossi, the jump he's made this year. Is there anyone else on the team that's made a bigger jump than him?
I don't think so. And, you know, all the credit to Marco Rossi because he's done this himself. You know, you look at a couple seasons ago and it was kind of, is he a bust? Is he not going to be the first-round pick that the Minnesota Wild needed him to be? He put in the work, and last year you saw that in a breakout year. I know we got all the attention on Brock Faber as his rookie season was tremendous, but Marco Rossi was in that Calder conversation as well. I mean, he really asserted himself as kind of that missing piece in the top six, and this year he's earned those top-line minutes centering Kaprizov and Zuccarello when Kaprizov is in the lineup. And at first you look at that and you're like, well, of course Rossi's going to produce when you've got a guy like Kirill on the wing. But as you just mentioned, Dave, with Kirill out, Marco is still producing. He's getting down in the dirty areas. He's battling, you know, and he's setting up the plays as well. So it's been tremendous. As you'd mentioned, Matt Boldy, I think everybody knows what's there, and it can kind of be peaks and valleys with him a little bit. Marco Rossi's been very consistent. He's not only finding the back of the net or finding the score sheet, but he's consistent in the way he does it, and that's what the Minnesota Wild have needed to maintain with the absence of 97.
Jess, they've been very streaky, the Wild, and, you know, and obviously more on the streak side of the wins than losses based upon what their record looks like. But when we lose, it seems like we really give up a lot of goals. I mean, a great example is the Avalanche game where we lose 6-1. What is it about the games when we're losing? Do we just change anything about how we're approaching in those games, or what is it about the losses where we seem to get beat 6-1 or 5-3 or whatever it might be?
No, that's a great question. And unfortunately, a lot of those have come at home. So I have had to have a front row seat to those opponents, and the hometown fans have as well. You know, I look at some of those games and I kind of like to separate them, though, because they do feel like very uncharacteristic Wild games that got out of hand. And sometimes the score isn't even necessarily indicative of what it was. I look at that Colorado game and there were some lapses, but it really wasn't that bad. You go to an Edmonton game where it was 7-1 and it seemed like, you know, Leon Dreisaitl getting the bounces. And there are certain things where it's just kind of like, honestly, bad puck luck. I don't even know that necessarily the Minnesota Wild deserved the losses in the way that they've established. Now, last night in Nashville, on the other hand, it was just a bad defensive breakdown. They were a little, I think, too focused on revenge and retribution for Jarrett Spurgeon's injury versus playing a full 60 minutes. But really, I think that's it. I think a lot of those are anomalies. Unfortunately, it feels really devastating, right? You look at the goals against, you know, what has happened. But I look at the games and kind of the little breakdowns within it, and it's not nearly as concerning as the score sheet might say. Now, certainly, I'm sure Philip Gustafson and Marc-Andre Fleury would disagree with me because that certainly doesn't help their stats. But it's nothing that I'm too concerned about because for the majority of those games, the Wild still looked like the Wild, so that was very good.
Jesse Pierce joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. They have Colorado tomorrow, one of the more difficult teams to face in the Western Conference. I was watching, I was at the game against Edmonton the other night when Connor McDavid scored that ridiculous goal. I mean, just nuts on Philip Gustafson. And Gus does not give up many of those. Is he for your, when you look at goalies in the NHL, and everyone's going to point to Connor Hellebuck, but I think Philip Gustafson, the way he plays with the methodical way that he plays, for my money, he's one of the best, if not the best, goaltenders in the NFL. Where do you put him?
I put him up there. I don't know if I'm too ready. I think it's because I love Connor Hellebuck, only because he's a Team USA guy, right? We love that. Yes. For the Four Nations coming up. It's going to be tremendous. But I also look at guys like Jake Ottinger, a Lakeville native, right? I mean, yep. Philip Gustafson's definitely had a huge bounce back from last season, but I still need to see just a smidge more because you talk about those games where the goals have been allowed. I think Gus has allowed, at least prior to his last start, 19 goals in four games, you know, which is a little unlike him. And certainly you can point to the blue line not having Spurgeon and Brodin and Faber for the most part, right? I mean, that doesn't help at all. But Philip Gustafson, definitely, I love the way he's responded to last year. Last year, he wouldn't be anywhere near the top 20 in that list, I think. And he would probably admit that himself, too. But I would say he's maybe in my top 15. I'll put him up there. I'll give him a little bit of flowers. Not the full bouquet just yet, because I need to see it more night in and night out. But Philip Gustafson, yeah, I mean, I think nobody could disagree. And his stats prior to his injury this year and prior to a little bit of lapse as of late were up there as well. I mean, he was the first star of the month at one point in time. He was, you know, right there with Connor Hellebuyck. So he's definitely moving up on the rise, and it's good that the Minnesota Wild have him locked up to be a good duo with Jesper Bellstedt, ideally, next year.
I love Hellebuyck when he's with Team USA. I don't love him when he's with when he's with Winnipeg.
I get it. I totally am in agreement with you there.
Is the injuries going to continue to be a problem, do you think, for the Wild, or are we on the mend? Are we going to get ourselves back so that we can actually put out the full Wild team at one of these games?
Oh, geez, it seems like it's never ending. It's one guy in, one guy out, one guy in, one guy out. And it's funny because you look at it, the same thing happened last year, except last year it didn't feel like they had the mental fortitude to really push past it. You know, I asked John Hines that. I said, why does this year feel different? I mean, sure, you can point to the start, but they've been without the same big key pieces in their lineup for a majority of the season, much like last year. It's just the fact that they believe in themselves a little bit more. There's that confidence. So I think even with the absence of guys, I think they're going to get Jared Spurgeon back very soon. I think you are going to get Kirill back very soon. Johansson is out with concussion protocol, so that, you know, is touch and go as is. But for the most part, we should see a healthy lineup maybe in the next week or two, which would be absolutely ideal because we know what this team looks like when they are at full strength. You saw it at the beginning of the year, and I think there'll just be a lot of excitement, a lot of offensive prowess, and hopefully some W's to follow as they get into the meat of the season here.
Jesse Pierce, thanks as always. Appreciate your time. You're always so knowledgeable. I'd love to have you on. Thank you very much.
Always, boys. Thanks so much. Bye.
Jesse Pierce, NHL.com, Bardown Beauties podcast as well. Wild taking on Colorado in Colorado tomorrow for a 2 o'clock game. We'll take a quick break, come back. You're listening to Huddle on 830 WCCO. Into the WCCO talking text line. Dave, you can switch jobs tomorrow to any employer you want. Nothing is stopping you. That's how the courts are ruling for players. They can't have restrictions on who they play for, same as you and me. Dave, you're full of yourself. You're blowing smoke.
What the?
Okay, I'm good. I'm good with that. But here's a problem, though, and we've said this so many times. They're college athletes. This is not a job. We have jobs. You and I have jobs that we have to report to. And yes, we can switch jobs unless we're under a certain unless we're under a contract where we couldn't. This is not their job. This is college football. This is amateur football that they're trying to call a professional, that they're treating like it's a professional job, but it's not. They're getting a college education. They're getting free room and board. They're getting a degree. And not only are they not paying for it, they're getting paid $4 million at some places to do so. This is not the same thing. Am I full of myself? Probably. Am I blowing smoke? Occasionally. Am I right on this? Yes, I am. I'm sorry. And I'm more than happy to take the disagreements and all of that. And that's okay. I'm up for that. But claiming that being a college athlete is the same as having a job and a professional career is false, sir.
Ah, Dave, you're so full of yourself.
I am. That's not. I'm not debating that. another text in here is the NFC North still the toughest division to play in the NFL. Yes, three of its teams got into the playoffs, but they all went one and done. Interesting question, Josh. I think you brought this up last night in our text chain, didn't you?
Yeah, kind of.
Something similar.
Yeah.
Is it the toughest division?
I just think it's interesting that, you know, 0-3 for a division that was, you know, this is the first time in a long time we've had three strong teams in this division. It's always been, you know, six in one hand, half dozen in the other when it comes to usually there's two top dogs, which is usually the Vikings and the Packers, and then it's usually Bears and Lions that are out, the odd man out. Not this time around. And this is a huge if because we talked about this earlier too. If the Bears can some way, somehow say some prayers and square their organization around, which, oh, man, they better if Caleb Williams is their guy forward, because they need – it's not necessarily Caleb Williams' problem. It's an organizational problem. I was just texting with some people last night about this. If he can get the right people behind him, I think Chicago can be a threat also in the North. And, yeah, you're looking at a stacked division, all four teams.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a great division, but I would say this. Let's be very honest about the competition that we played against, guys. And we talked about this during the season, and we're talking about it now in the postseason. But, you know, we were playing the Colts, the Jaguars, the Titans, the Atlanta, multiple times with Chicago, who's getting better, but they're still not exactly great. I think that's one of the factors that everybody kind of looked past. We beat a lot of teams, and we didn't beat a lot of those by an amazing amount of points either. I mean, that's the other thing. And, you know, so I think we have to keep that in mind as well. I mean, it's some of it has to do with who your competition was during the year. And next year, because of our how we played this year, we're going to have a much more difficult next year when it comes to the schedule.
I want to ask you guys this, because I was watching the Chiefs-Texans game last night, and it's been brought up a couple times all over the place that I think Patrick – well, it's a fact. Patrick Mahomes gets a different treatment than other quarterbacks. And you get to the point that there's guys literally like running around him, and he's still going, but they're not tackling him. And then at one point, they get a roughing the passer – because two guys collided from Houston with each other. They didn't even hit him. And then you watch the Lions and the Commanders, and Jared Goff takes a helmet to the face, 100% to the face. I thought, boy, if that was Patrick Mahomes, that guy'd be out of the league. The guy who hit him would be out of the league. I'm kind of tired, and I like Patrick Mahomes. He is incredibly talented. But I'm kind of tired of this whole star treatment he's getting, because – he just sits there. At one point, he's barely even moving, and they're just not tackling him because they're afraid they're going to get a penalty.
I couldn't agree with you more, Dave. And here's the problem. He does get different star treatment, so to speak. And, you know, and we've seen that with Tom Brady, too, quite frankly, I think, back in the day. But I will say this. In this NFL that's a little bit different than Tom Brady, even though Tom just retired a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. But let's be honest. They need to pick those damn flags up on those calls that are bad calls. And all they'd have to do, and it wouldn't take forever, take a look at it, just like the announcers are doing, and you look and you say, you know what? It sure looked like it was a dirty hit. It turned out it wasn't. They didn't hit him in the face. They hit each other in the face, like you were just saying, because I was watching the same thing. How about the phantom hit from the outside linebacker when he was coming around the outside, Anderson as well? That was another one. Suddenly, you know, the flags are everywhere. I think that's fine. Call it on the field, because that's what it looked like. But take a really quick look, especially if it was questionable. Take a quick look and say, you know what? We got to pick that up. That did not happen. They didn't hit the face. They didn't hit the head. They actually hit underneath and all the rest of it. That's what they need to do. I don't mind the fact that they throw the flag, but pick the daggone thing up.
Josh, do you have a opinion on this?
I'm kind of in the same boat as you guys. I just think that it needs to be kind of even Steven across the board when it comes to these quarterbacks. And mm-hmm. I could totally see how Patrick Mahomes gets way too many of these, like Pete said, phantom calls. Yeah, it's a good way to put it.
As we end our show, we got a few minutes here. we began our show talking about Sam Darnold. We'll end our show about it. Josh?
Yes.
Your thoughts. Is Sam Darnold a Viking next year?
Here's my thing, and I want to pitch this real quick to you guys. Okay, we're talking about teams that need need new head coaches, whatever. There's a lot of teams that are looking to turn their organization around. So just hear me out. I feel like there's a lot of teams that will pay Sam Darnold, regardless of the price tag, even if it's just a bridge situation, to turn their organization around just for one season and give it maybe the baton to somebody else. That's all a lot of these teams, like the Vegases of the world, are looking to just kind of get someone to bridge them to a new era and kind of flip the script for their organization. And I think if they have to do what the Vikings did and get 1 year out of Sam Darnold and pay him whatever price tag he wants for 1 year, I think that's kind of the road that they'll go down. I think there's a lot of bidders out there that will take that to turn their team around.
That's a good point.
That is a good point. It's a great point. I would say this real quick. I think that if he goes to the right team that has the right talent, except for a quarterback is lacking, and it's not Minnesota, he's going to have another great year. But if he goes to one of these scrubby teams out there, New England, the Giants, some of those that don't have a lot of talent around him, he's going to struggle.
I think he'll take the money, and I believe he might struggle. But I hope I'm wrong, because it's been fun to watch him this year, and I'm rooting for him. Fun show today, gentlemen. I appreciate it. Fun to chat with you.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we'll do it again next week. Have a great Sunday, everybody.